Alison Valgamore is the President and Chief Executive Officer, CEO, of the Philadelphia Orchestra. Since 2010, she has guided the Philadelphia Orchestra through a radically changing cultural environment and financial landscape.
You said it. Through that, the orchestra has maintained its artistic excellence and core principles.
Some particular feathers in her cap include the appointment of Yannick Nezet Seguin.
Close.
Okay.
Yannick Nezet Seguin.
I can never make it sound like that. Alison.
That's why he's perfectly comfortable being Yannick.
Okay, Yannick, the unique Yannick. And music director of the Philadelphia Orchestra, and as well as, of course, the appointment of Charles Dutoit as conductor laureate.
Yes, yes.
Alison Valgamore, welcome to the roundtable. When we talked to Alison, when we talked to Mark Volpe, over your counterpart over at the Boston Symphony, we find out that he was, for the many years, a clarinetist. And that has guided him. And you, your instrument is?
Voice. I'm a voice major from Oberlin Conservatory. Nope. Very proud of that.
A very wonderful school.
It is indeed.
Yeah. So do you ever get up with the orchestra and do your thing?
You know, at parties, but not in front of the orchestra. I think at any moment, though, I could be called upon, don't you think? Yeah, it'd be fun, actually.
Any moment.
So I'm curious as to tell us a little bit about your coming to the Philadelphia Orchestra. So the orchestra is, and to put it fairly mildly, is having a rough time. So they call you up and they say help, and you take the job, which to me says a lot about who you are of taking on a challenge like that.
Well, it's a great, great orchestra. It's a phenomenally gifted orchestra and a legacy institution. So who could resist? But my story is really very personal. I did graduate from Oberlin. I just got an honorary degree there this May, which was wonderful. I came into the fellowship program to be trained in orchestras, and I came to work for the Philadelphia Orchestra in 1980.
Yeah.
So for me, this was a homecoming and an effort to, frankly, give back to the institution that launched my career. And I'm very proud of what we've accomplished these last 5 years.
Well, people really listen to what you have to say. Is there anything in your name that makes them do what you want?
No. I'm really not the Harry Potter person. No.
When it comes to the challenges of coming in, so you say it's a labor of love. So you come in and you know, do you know right away what has to be done? Do you look from the outside and say, well, this is a model that has to be changed? Or is it really sort of getting into the weeds of it, of realizing where things need to be changed?
You know, there are lots of good questions embedded in that. And let me just say, you don't come to the Philadelphia Orchestra in the condition that it was in without knowing that this is going to be a moment for the institution, for you, and for the musicians. And the moment is, quite honestly, to save the orchestra, to make stronger decisions, to keep the art constantly moving forward no matter what happens.
And not to interrupt, but there were, just before you came in, they were printing your obituary of the orchestra. Not your personal obituary, but that of the orchestra they were printing.
They're probably still printing my obituary everywhere.
But meaning that because so many orchestras were failing and having trouble through a very precarious financial time, there was great concern about the Philadelphia Orchestra.
I think because of what was happening in the industry and still is, but most importantly because the orchestra is a landmark institution that no one could believe it was in a condition that needed to be saved quite as dramatically as we needed to do.
But it was the face of all orchestras in the United States that were in trouble. Mm-hmm. And so it was very important that it be saved.
Indeed, and I think, quite honestly, we have been watched and will be watched still. When you turn a major cultural organization around, and I'm going to take my hand and shoot it straight to the ceiling, it's straight up bringing your audience back and bringing all of your contributions back and re-identifying with your community. That's a meteoric turnaround.
Now, what about the musicians themselves? How important were they to this turnaround?
Critical. Even as we were making tough decisions together, or tough decisions we had to make that were uncomfortable for these musicians, I always could count on the pride and the will and the legacy of the teaching of these musicians. They care deeply about their sound, and it's real. We as musicians know it's real. And so I think they were instrumental in keeping our audiences getting that taste of Philadelphia Orchestra that is like no other. Sorry, but it is the sound that is unique. And obviously, my conversations with Yannick were buoyed by the fact that the orchestra never stopped playing and that we were constantly still the emblem of excellence.
Mm. In that emblem of excellence, do you feel that you had to take a couple steps back to take the steps forward?
Not in excellence. What we had to do is a very personal journey. And, you know, I never speak about another orchestra's journey. Everything is local and everything is unique to the organization. We had to change our choices about fiscal discipline. We had to recommit, frankly, to taking the artistic excellence that is us and put it at the edge of our seat and do things a little differently. So we added lights and visuals and became an orchestra of the future as well as a legacy orchestra of the past.
So could you give us give us an example of the fiscal discipline?
Give you a current example.
Okay.
We are the only major cultural organization in the country, certainly the only major orchestra, to do a couple of things. Escrow our ticket sales for the next season, I'll explain that, and watch and earn quarterly our earned and contributed revenues. And what does that mean?
Yeah.
Orchestras have traditionally lived by taking 100% of their endowment draw in the front of their fiscal year, live off of it while they sell concerts and raise things.
Right.
Put out the next season around January, bring in a lot of revenues in April of that year, start eating, I call it their seed corn, a year in advance. Start spending that money a year in advance.
Or as you mentioned, their escrow.
Yes. But what we do is we have probably $8 million right now of season ticket sales for next year. We've already met our subscription goal for next year, which is great for us.
Yeah.
And that is all escrowed away until next year. And we will not pay ourselves until the concerts have performed 2 weeks later. We pay ourselves. And what does that do? It means that you have moved the safety cash cow that is subscription into the proper fiscal year, and now we work harder on a quarterly basis to earn the affection of our single ticket purchasers and also our contributors. So, you know, it sounds mechanical, but really critical.
Now, Joe, of course, is a Philadelphian, and I just want to ask you a question really quickly. Is there any relationship between how well the Phillies do and how well the orchestra does?
God,
we
I hope
love
not.
The Phillies. We love the Phillies.
God, I hope not.
And we go out as often as we can to cheer them on.
When you talk to us a little bit about, as with all the things that you just mentioned in the back of our mind, tell us then how coming to a summer home, coming to Saratoga, fits into that and is important for you to, because of what you just said, which was a gorgeous answer, seems to me in my economic terminology is basically you're no longer robbing Peter to pay Paul.
Yes.
Okay.
Which are the same person in our case.
Right.
Yes.
It's Pauly on Market Street. Okay, so how does Saratoga fit into that picture?
Well, first of all, in the heart. I mean, Saratoga is our summer home for coming on and now 50 years and celebrating it in this season and next, especially next season. And, you know, when you have come over time and met a community and grown an affection for a region in the country and the people who are here, it's really a heart thing before it's ever a head economic thing.
Mm.
And I think just watching the musicians race to get their houses, figure out if they're going to be on the lake, whether they're going to be in town. I'm a townie person. I'm a track person. Sure. And so, you know, I think we anticipate our arrival a lot. Also, the music making here, I think that Marcia, in her leadership role here, and the board, in specific the staff, they encourage us to continue to do very strong classical programs. And they invest in guest artists that are critically important in
today's
classical.
That's the second time. David mentioned they. You just said they. Does Marcia get to make decisions who the soloists are going to be, or is that the orchestra?
Obviously, Marcia's at the top, but we work together. But Marcia calls the shots here, and Sharon as well.
Really?
And we do that together. We have some legendary lunches, actually, out at the golf club.
Legendary means that you are free and frank in your discussion.
Really no. Means that we really like the Sundays there every
yeah.
2 years.
Yeah,
the Mammoth Sunday, you know. I think that they have a very strong artistic view, both classical and experimental. And what we try to do is look at the season in Philadelphia and bring the best that the Philadelphia Orchestra does, both classical and summer classical, sure, as well as films and theatrical lighting. I think putting the ballet and the orchestra back together has been very much Marcia's idea and very much one that we've loved.
So when you bring in the Maniacs and the Yo-Yos, and obviously these are people who cost a lot of money. So my question then is, do they ever say, okay, this is the Philadelphia Orchestra, we may have more of a relationship with Boston, but this is an important thing to keep going in this country? Do you ever feel that you get some consideration? That's the best way I could put it,
yeah,
consideration, because they know how important the Philadelphia Orchestra is to classical music.
I think that is a benefit to the Saratoga Performing Arts Center and the orchestra. And it's really not about money, because people and artists must be paid as fairly as any institution can. It's really more about them making time available. And of course, Boston sits, I don't know, somewhere yonder.
East, yeah, right.
But I think that the artists who have come here because they think that Saratoga Performing Arts Center and the Philadelphia Orchestra is a not-to-miss occasion in the summer. And that means that the fellowship is important as well. So Yo-Yo coming on a regular basis, and Manny, and in the past, Jean-Yves Thibaudet. And certainly we're bringing our top-flight conductors. Mm-hmm. Having on the stage, rehearsing while we're here, our own principal guest conductor, Stéphane Deneuve, who has made his own relationship with his community, and then four concerts with Yannick this year, is a symbol of, quite honestly, of our priority of SPAC and its programming.
I've never understood that stuff about, you know, you hire a conductor and he does four principal concerts this summer. So is that a lot?
Yes, it is. For a man who just finished a major opera in Baden-Baden and getting recording his second Mozart opera. You know, when you look at these great artists, because, and you mentioned Charles Dutoit, absolutely,
yes,
Charles Dutoit, these are busy people. Very busy people. And so I spend time working with them 3 and 4 years in advance, together with Jeremy Rothman, who has, I think, been with you before, our artistic planner. And we scope out seasons and schedules 4 and 5 years in advance, because these are in-demand folk.
And I was always curious, does doing this here at Saratoga help you back at home?
Yes.
In Philadelphia?
I have, I think, 6 dinners while I'm here of Philadelphians who are coming. And we want to encourage more Philadelphians to return to coming to SPAC. And next year we want to be sure and have a patrons tour.
Is it ever part of the subscription package or anything like that?
It is in our brochure, and it is, we help to advertise it where we are.
Mm-hmm.
That's an interesting notion, trying to do an ad and concept. I think Marcia and I should talk about that. but quite honestly, I think Philadelphians know where we are. You may remember that this great facility was built originally in part by the horse community.
Right.
And there were great Philadelphian names who were a part of that. The Widners, many people who were a part of that. And still today, I mean, one of the couple I'm with, of course, is Gretchen Jackson, who is here, head of the Horse Museum now.
Well, you know, Marcia, before, when she was on with us, and you know, I truly love her, she mentioned how much it costs to put either the orchestra or the dance on every night. And about half of that money has to be raised one way or another by the Saratoga Performing Arts. How does that relationship work?
Well, it's the same at home. I think when you're presenting great art, and has been since Esterhazy's time, the same. The cost of putting on excellence or choice excellence, such as film nights or partnerships with a ballet, is an investment. If you charge ticket prices that would cover 100% of the cost, there wouldn't have been an audience in 1800, and there wouldn't be an audience today.
Sure.
So patronage is about caring not just for the music or the ballet or the center. It's about caring for the region, caring for the health of Saratoga and Saratoga Springs, and it's also about caring that there is an international presence in this community. And I think, you know, when I come, I love Lake George, and as I said, I very much appreciate the history of the Saratoga track itself. I feel like I'm stepping into a piece of history, so I think patrons are investing in keeping that history alive by supporting the Saratoga Performing Arts Center.
Patrons,
donors,
meaning rich people.
Corporate donors. Yeah. Not only rich people. We need every dollar anyone chooses to give here and in Philadelphia. Yeah. I think it's very important that when we greet audiences, we thank them for buying their tickets, and many of them can be individual donors to the Saratoga Performing Arts Center. But surely it does take corporate underwriting. It takes individuals who care for the health of the spa and the park as well as the Performing Arts Center, because it keeps that part of Saratoga mm-hmm. alive. I would hope that, you know, our wonderful old hotel here and the downtown, I mean, I see the flags go up when we come in town. Lots of restaurants gets business. So I think we're working together with the Art Center and the ballet and all of the other acts that come here with Real Life Nation to grow an economic engine, quite honestly, surrounding this community.
Allison Vogelmore is the president and CEO of the Philadelphia Orchestra. Could you do me a favor? Could you run everything?
No.
I think we'd Marcia be
does on... too great a job.
Well, not here. I'm just meaning in
the
general.
World?
Yeah.
I'll take on the world every day.
All right. Excellent. Allison, what a great pleasure. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for the honor.
Congratulations on that degree from Oberlin.
Thank you. Had to mention it.
You're listening to the Roundtable's live broadcast from SPAC on WAMC.